ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. विल रीड फ्रॉम दि श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट नंबर 5. दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज दि एडवेंट ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्णा. इंट्रोडक्शन. पिता
महामे समरे मरंजये देवव्रताद्यातिरतैस्ति मिंगलये दुरत्ययं कौरव सैन्य सागरम् कृतावतरन् वत्स्य पदं स्मयत् प्लवाः.
पिता. देयर आर टू मोर वर्सेस. आई विल रीड देम. द्रोण्यस्त्र विप्लुष्टमिदं मतंगं संतान बीजं कुरु पांडवानां जुगोक कुप्षिं गत अत्त चोक्रो मातुश्च मेय शरणं गताय वीर्याणि तस्याखिल देह भाजां अंतर्बही पुरुष काल रूपै प्रयच्छतो मृत्युमुतामृतं च माया मनुष्यस्य वदस्व विद्वान्. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Taking the boat of Krishna's lotus feet, my grandfather Arjuna and others crossed the ocean of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, in which such commanders as Bhishma Dev resembled great fish that could very easily have swallowed them. By the mercy of the Lord Krishna, my grandfathers crossed this ocean, which was very difficult to cross, as easily as one steps over the footprint of a calf. Because my mother surrendered unto Lord Krishna's lotus feet, the Lord Sudarshan Chakra in hand entered her womb and saved my body, the body of the last remaining descendant of the Kurus and the Pandavas, which was almost destroyed by the fiery weapon of Ashwatthama. Lord Sri Krishna, appearing within and outside of all materially embodied living beings, by his own potency in the form of eternal time, that is as Paramatma and as Virata Rupa, gave liberation to everyone, either as cruel death or as life. Kindly enlighten me by describing his transcendental characteristics. Purport. As stated in the Bhagavatam 10.14.58,
समाश्रिताये पदपल्लवं प्लवं महत्पदं पुण्ययशो मुरारे भवाम्बुधिर्वत्स्य पदं परं पदं 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 यत्वे पदं नतेषां.
फॉर वन हू हैज एक्सेप्टेड द बोट ऑफ द लोटस फीट ऑफ द लॉर्ड हू इज द शेल्टर ऑफ द कॉस्मिक मैनिफेस्टेशन एंड इज फेमस एज मुरारी और द एनिमी ऑफ द मुरा डीमन द ओशन ऑफ द मटीरियल वर्ल्ड इज लाइक द वॉटर कंटेंट इन अ काप्स फुटप्रिंट. हिज गोल इज परम पदम और वैकुंठ, the place where there are no material miseries, not the place where there is a danger at every step. One who seeks shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna is immediately protected by the Lord. As the Lord promises in the Bhagavad Gita, Aham Tvam Sarva Paphebhyo Moksha Ishami Masucha. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions, do not fear. By taking shelter of Lord Krishna, one comes under the safest protection. Thus, when the Pandavas took shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, all of them were on the safe side of the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Parikshit Maharaj therefore felt obliged to think of Krishna in the last days of his life. This is the ideal result of Krishna consciousness, Ante Narayana Smriti. If at the time of death one can remember Krishna, one's life is successful. Parikshit Maharaj therefore, because of his many obligations to Krishna, intelligently decided to think of Krishna constantly during the last days of his life. Krishna had saved the Pandavas, Maharaj Parikshit's grandfathers, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and Krishna had saved Maharaj Parikshit himself when he was attacked by the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama. Krishna acted as the friend and worshipable deity of the Pandavas family. Moreover, apart from Lord Krishna's personal contact with the Pandavas, Krishna is the supersoul of all living entities and he gives everyone liberation. Even if one is not pure devotee, Kamsa for example was not at all a devotee, yet Krishna after killing him gave him salvation. Krishna consciousness is beneficial to everyone, whether one is a pure devotee or a non-devotee. This is the glory of Krishna consciousness. Considering this, who will not take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna? Krishna is described in this verse as Maya Manushya because he descends exactly like a human being. He is not obliged to come here like karmis or ordinary living beings. Rather, he appears by his own internal energy. Sambhavami Atma Maya, just to show favor to the fallen conditioned souls, Krishna is always situated in his original position as Sachit Ananda Vigraha, and anyone who renders service to him is also situated in his original spiritual identity, Swarupena Vivastitihi. This is the highest perfection of human life. Om Agyata
Mahame, submerging the boat of Lord Krishna's lotus feet, my grandfather Arjuna and others crossed the ocean of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, in which such commanders as Bhishma Dev resembled a great fish. Pray Krishna.
So in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when the qualities of Lord Krishna are described by Mother Cow in the discussion between cow and the bull to Parikshit Maharaj, and one quality is spoken as knowledge. And very interestingly, the knowledge, five features are described of knowledge, and one of the important features of knowledge is gratitude. And therefore we see the Pandavas are very much instrumental in making this Bhagavatam available to the entire world. And what makes Krishna come here and what makes Krishna's pastime become very famous is not simply the event. Krishna's pastime is not simply a part of the event in the material world. Just like our life, when we are part of this world, and just a mechanical happening, in one sense. Of course, there is all arrangement, the arrangement of our karma. But in regards to Krishna's pastime appears here because the expression of gratitude by devotees like Parikshit Maharaj. Like Srila Prabhupada explains that Parikshit Maharaj felt obliged to hear Krishna's pastime when he is about to quit this material body. And Prabhupada very interestingly begins with the verse spoken by Brahmaji that how one should take shelter of Krishna. Because material life means trouble. Material life means difficulty. And trying to find solution, a material solution for material life, is simply complicating our karma. You add more to your karma. It does not solve the problem. Rather, apparently whatever is solved, as a reaction in the future, our life becomes more complicated. Therefore, there is no solution for material life. At the same time, the power of Maya is so great that to cross over the ocean of the power of Maya is also difficult. Therefore, the process what the Pandavas practice was not to try to overcome Maya, but rather to try to take shelter of Krishna. That is an important principle, that the tendency of the conditioned soul is to struggle and defend. But the tendency of a devotee is to make his nature in all condition to take shelter of Krishna. That is the life of the Pandavas. That was their family affair, to take shelter of Krishna. So therefore we see the Lord's pastime, Krishna's appearance to the material world, the most beautiful pastime, but the beautiful pastime makes sense only to those devotees who have gratitude in their heart. Otherwise, these pastimes are available even to non-devotees, even to the yogis, even to the jnanis. But they are not attracted by these pastimes. The materialistic people are not attracted by Krishna's pastime. Rather, these pastimes of Krishna create anger, frustration, envy, and eventually they analyze Krishna's pastime and criticize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because It doesn't make sense to them. They don't feel obliged to hear Krishna's pastime. Therefore, seeing the attitude of Parikshit Maharaj, like we were discussing, that in the mundane world, three class of people are there. Those who are the lowest, they discuss about people. Anything happens when you talk about people. Like one doctor was mentioning, he said he used to go around with the very high class people in the society. He said when they would go to the party, what do they would discuss? They are having liquor, they are drinking, and along with drinking they are talking about others, backbiting. Simply talking about others. That was their pleasure. Just to talk about other people. Therefore it is explained the low class people talk about people. And little higher than them, they talk about events. They just talk about events. Olympics, you know. People are talking about that. And then it is explained, those who are higher than these, they talk about concepts. They don't talk about people, they don't talk about events, they talk about concept, the ideas. And therefore they are called as first class. And similarly in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are events, there are people and there are concepts. Parikshit Maharaj is involved and Parikshit Maharaj is about to die, maybe last 3 days have left. Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto means maybe more than 4000 verses are there. So Parikshit Maharaj is about to face an imminent departure from this world, a very important event in his life. But he is not worried about that. What is he worried about? He is worried about simply understanding the concept of Krishna consciousness. When he was cursed, he didn't discuss who is that who cursed me. He was just told that you are cursed, you will die within 7 days. And Parikshit Maharaj, usually the tendency is that we ask question, who did it? Who did it? Where was it happening? We talk about an immediate answer for who has done it. But Parikshit Maharaj had already analyzed why this is happening to me. We never ask this question, why this is happening. So Parikshit Maharaj is very apt, even before the event took place, even the curse was uttered, when he was coming back from that place where he actually put that snake on the neck of Shamik Rishi, he was anticipating. He was expecting. And then he was preparing also what kind of curse should come to him. He says, let my power, my wealth and my strength be destroyed. Let me suffer rather than those who are connected to me suffer. Let it come, let it happen. One may pray like that to Krishna. You know, when actually the event happens, again there is a defensive attitude. And then what did Parikshit Maharaj say? Parikshit Maharaj said, yes, this is what I am supposed to face because I am attached to material life and this is the only way Krishna has come to my life. Dvijashaparupa, in the form of the curse of a Brahmana boy, and let whatever this Brahmana boy has created come and bite me at once while I continue to hear the great glories of the Lord. And just see that it was not only in the beginning, up until his end, he kept on holding this attitude in his life. I read one book, and in that book it was talking about some preachers, the Christian preachers, and they were caught by the communist people and they were tortured to the extreme degree. But they were holding their faith. No, you know, we continue to follow our Lord and Master Jesus. And at the time of death, they lost their conviction. And they were dying. This is written by another preacher who did not lose his faith, who continued to remain strong. When he would see his fellow preachers holding such a strong conviction, but at the time of death, they would actually curse Jesus. Saying, you know, we did so much for you, but you are not protecting us. They would die having a negative consciousness about God. So therefore Parikshit Maharaj, it's much easier when you don't realize the effect of the curse to theoretically understand the philosophy and thank Krishna. But as you approach death, when the death becomes much closer, to hold those same views are very difficult. Therefore, what Parikshit Maharaj spoke in the first canto, he continues to speak in the 10th canto also. Because he is saying to Sukadeva Goswami, he said, my dear spiritual master, do not summarize the pastimes of the Lord. Go on speaking as elaborately as possible. Do not minimize these pastimes. Because he said, I want to hear everything about Krishna. Why Krishna killed his uncle? How is that Sankarsan appeared? How Krishna performed so many wonderful pastimes? He said, do not speak in brief. Speak elaborately. If you are worried that I am thirsty, hungry and sleepy, he said, if you stop speaking about Krishna, then I will be affected. Very interesting that Parikshit has the conviction that only shelter is the nectarian narration of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He had taken complete shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore by hearing those kind of expression by Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami became very happy. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, Sukadeva Goswami said, my dear Parikshit, you have conquered the Brahma Tej, the curse of a Brahmana. Your life was simply being cursed. When you were born, you were cursed by the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama. He was a Brahmana also. But you are protected by Krishna. When you are about to be born, actually he was dead also. The one version says he was dead, another version says Krishna covered with Sudarshan Chakra. Anyway, both versions are right because Krishna's protection is the real version. So Krishna protected Parikshit Maharaj. When he was dead, he revived him. So he was stopped from the curse of a Brahmana. In fact, it is explained that when a Brahmana curses or you are killed by a Brahmana, there is no liberation. In the Ramayana, when Jatayu was killed by Ravan, according to Smriti Shastra, because a Brahmana never gets involved in killing business. Therefore, when a Brahmana kills, there is no question of that person getting liberation. Therefore, who was Ravan? Ravan was a Brahman and he killed Jatayu. But still he attained perfection because he was connected to Lord Ram. That is the power of Brahmana's curse. That one cannot get liberation. So here Brahmastra was sent by Ashwatthama. It was guaranteed that Parikshit would be dead. Who is sending? A Brahmana is sending. Not only Parikshit did not die, but Parikshit saw Krishna. And not only Parikshit didn't see Krishna, Parikshit became obsessed with Krishna. While living, when he was not cursed, his whole life was addicted to worshipping Krishna. He would look for Krishna and therefore his family members named him Parikshit. One is always examining, not iPhone or jukebox, you know. He was examining, where is Krishna, where is Krishna. Just see what a childhood. Parikshit Maharaj's childhood was, all facilities were there in his family as a king's son. He could have been examining everything. The sword, the crown, the simhasan, you know, unlimited facilities were there. But all the time he was looking for Krishna. So seeing Krishna is not a big deal. But being obsessed with Krishna, that is a great benediction. That was Parikshit Maharaj. And then, when Parikshit Maharaj apparently made that mistake of putting a dead snake on the neck of Shamik Rishi, he was again cursed by a Brahmana boy, that you die within 7 days. It is as good as a Brahmana killing him. So according to the scripture, there is no question of liberation. Now again Krishna came to Parikshit Maharaj. Along with the remembrance of Krishna, Parikshit Maharaj had the pastime heard from the nectarian mouth of Sukadeva Goswami. Parikshit Maharaj says, he said, you go on speaking Krishna Katha from your nectarian mouth. Who could be greater disciple than Parikshit Maharaj and who could be greater speaker than the Sukadeva Goswami? And therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains in one of the purport in the 10th canto, the whole mission of Krishna consciousness movement is to create such speakers and to create such audience. What is it? That both parties are expert in hearing and speaking. There can be no other engagement in Krishna consciousness movement than the engagement of hearing and speaking about Krishna. We could be efficient in everything, but if you do not develop attention, we develop distraction from hearing Krishna Katha. Therefore, many times we need some other engagement just to convince ourselves that there is something else other than hearing Krishna Katha and speaking Krishna Katha. Some other engagement. Let me be engaged so that I can justify I am engaged in Krishna service. That is the unfortunate situation. Therefore, Prabhupada writes in the purport that the mission of this Krishna consciousness movement is to create such speakers and to create such audience. Those who have eagerness to hear and those who have eagerness to speak about Krishna. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when the doctors told him that you cannot speak because you have a problem, and he would keep on telling to his disciples, just see, this doctor is telling that I should not speak. He said, I should not speak, then what else should I do? What is the value of life if I don't speak about Krishna? He lost all charm in living. Why? Because a devotee, especially preachers like Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they don't mind losing every part of their body. Every part of their body, except the power of speech and the power of hearing. If these two senses are existing, let all the senses get destroyed. That was Parikshit Maharaj. So therefore, by seeing Parikshit Maharaj's conviction, Shukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj addressed him as Muni Saptama, the best of the sages, who is qualified to speak Krishna Katha. Just see how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has the ability even to enter into the heart of Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami, that he actually analyzes the word, why such words are spoken in the Bhagavatam. They are not simply compilation from the point of view of nice grammar, nice poetic description. Rather, the consciousness is involved. So Parikshit Maharaj is saying Muni Sattama, and Sukadeva Goswami says, you address me as Muni Sattama. Therefore, I address you as Rajarshi Saptama. There are Rajarshis, there are many kings, but not everybody is a Rajarshi. Everybody wants to exploit Mother Earth. In the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam, there is a Bhumi Geet. And Mother Bhumi speaks about this, that everybody wants to control me. They want to become Bhumi Pati. The Bhumi remains, but the Patis go. Their existence is not there. But Parikshit Maharaj is not like that. Very few will be Rajarshis. They are kings, but they are Rishis. But Parikshit Maharaj is addressed by Shukadeva Goswami, of the Rajarshis, you are a Saptama, you are the best of the Rajarshis. Why? Because your eagerness, your heart which is full of gratitude, what it makes me to speak Krishna Katha. And therefore Shukadeva Goswami is very eager to speak, and Parikshit Maharaj is very eager to speak. Therefore, it is explained that the devotee like Parikshit Maharaj, what do? They make their ears as a cup. They make their ears as a cup and fill the nectar of Krishna Katha into their ears. Limitless nectar. And therefore, Shukadeva Goswami keeps on speaking these pastimes of Krishna. And that is the reason of Krishna's appearance. Krishna does not appear just to establish religious principle. That is a too small event for the Lord. Just to establish religious principle, even the most insignificant of Krishna's servant can do it. Just by speaking about the concept of dharma. Why Krishna should come? Krishna says that, I come to establish religious principle and to annihilate the miscreants. But no, that is not the main reason. The main reason is, Prabhupada says, those who are afflicted by the separation of Krishna, Krishna comes here to perform those pastimes. Just to attract their heart. Just to give them solace. And then, Rupa Goswami explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, more so, Krishna is attracted by the attractive qualities of devotees. One is to be attracted by Krishna. That is most wonderful. We have that difficulty also. That to be attracted to Krishna is a difficulty. What to speak of Krishna being attracted to devotees? That is bhakti. Devotional service is not being attracted to Krishna. Devotional service means Krishna is attracted to devotee. Very high goal. Our difficulty is that we are much far away from the goal of devotional service. We still have a difficulty to be attracted to Krishna. We still have a difficulty in some time. We see sometime people come with a strange argument in their mind about the existence of the Lord. How could someone with two hands playing a flute, having a peacock feather, bluish form, can control the entire existence? How is it possible? That is our question. We are still stuck to there. And I am not able to control, you know, my surrounding. How can someone with two-handed, with a beautiful form, can control everything? Therefore, Krishna comes to this material world even to fulfill, even to get rid of such people's doubt. The existence of God, Krishna makes his existence a historical fact. Just see, as Prabhupada explains here, that the Lord gives liberation not only to the devotees, even to the non-devotees. Therefore, Krishna's appearance has many reasons. And one reason is to make his existence a historical fact. And therefore, Prabhupada explains in the 7th canto of the Bhagavatam, when Krishna killed Shishupal, and then the body, the soul of Shishupal entered into the form of the Lord. And Prabhupada writes in that purport that there were unlimited evidence, it was an historical fact, that Shishupal was killed and the soul of Shishupal was merging into the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It was an historical fact. So similarly, to make people understand that Krishna did exist, God does exist, therefore even to satisfy their needs, the Lord appears. Otherwise there is no need for the Lord to appear in the mundane world to perform his pastime. This is not the best place to perform his pastime. Material world is not the best place. The best place is the spiritual world, which is full of spiritual energy. Krishna is already performing that pastime. But why does he come here? He comes to meet many goals. To attract the heart of the devotees, to pacify their heart, afflicted heart, to prove his existence as a reality, historical reality, and to annihilate the miscreants and to establish the religious principle. And therefore, Parikshit Maharaj, because of such attitude of being grateful to Krishna, very interesting, that is called as knowledge. Usually our understanding of knowledge is what? That you analyze properly. You can, you know, retain everything in your brain. But never ever we consider knowledge to be gratitude. In fact, someone is grateful, people call him sentimental. What is this sentimentalism? Why can't he be philosophical? I remember one time in Mayapur, somebody was giving a lecture and one devotee raised this question. He said, how devotees should be very philosophical, not sentimental. And Pankajangri Prabhu shot him back. He said, Bhakti Yoga is full of sentiments. It may not be sentimental, but it is full of sentiment. And what is the highest sentiment? The highest sentiment is the sentiment of gratitude. Therefore, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, what to speak of the quality of a devotee being grateful? Rupa Goswami analyzes Krishna's quality as being grateful. When Draupadi called Krishna, you know, with the intention of protecting herself, the Lord appeared there. And Rupa Goswami explains that Draupadi, by calling Krishna, she was putting Krishna into eternal obligation, where you can never repay that obligation. Therefore, Krishna said, just to fulfill that obligation, I will not be able to fulfill that obligation, but I will try to do something. And therefore, he came down to protect Draupadi. Like again, in the case of Rukmini also, when that Brahmana came with that message, just see, what a match. The goddess of fortune was about to be getting married to Shishupal. What kind of anxiety she had. And no message came from Krishna. Till the morning, she is going to the temple of Durga Devi. And she comes out, Shishupal is waiting there, you know, like a crow, trying to get the Havisha Anna. He is supposed to eat garbage, but he is waiting there. And when Rukmini goes inside, and there is no news. And you can imagine what a anxiety she had. And when this Brahmana comes and gives the message to her, it is explained that she simply folded her hands. And she said, I have nothing to offer you. And Hridayananda Maharaj writes, when someone folds his hands without having an ability to offer something, that folding of hand means eternally obliged to you. I cannot repay you. I cannot repay the benefits what you offer to me. Therefore, by simply folding my hand, I remain eternally grateful to you. That is the nature of Krishna. That Krishna can be grateful to his devotee. What to speak of devotee being grateful to Krishna? Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj, keeping that standard, that consistency in regards to hearing Krishna Katha, one of the very, very wonderful verse. Parikshit Maharaj remembers everything. That is what Bhagavatam is all about. And that is it all about the Pandavas also. Pandavas are remembering Krishna in gratitude. Uddhava is remembering Krishna in gratitude. And Parikshit Maharaj continues to remember Krishna in gratitude. And that is the qualification to hear Krishna's pastime. That is the qualification to hear Krishna's pastime. And that is the qualification to understand Krishna's pastime. It is not that our brain will make us understand Krishna's pastime. It will not. If that heart is not fertile with this principle, one may hear the pastime, but one may analyze the pastime and become unfortunate. But one hears the pastime like Parikshit Maharaj and his heart is filling with more and more gratitude. More and more gratitude. And therefore, when the time came for him to pass from this world, Sukadeva Goswami did not stay there. Knowing very well, the body what is there of Parikshit Maharaj, it is no more connected to him. He has already gone back to the spiritual world, simply by hearing Krishna Katha. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami did not stay there. We usually give so much importance to this material body. People want to make a big issue of a material body. Big issue out of this material body. But Sukadeva Goswami, he did not stay there. He just walked away and gave a last warning to Parikshit Maharaj. He said, get out of this animalistic concept of life. Just see, after hearing all that Krishna Katha, what was the warning? Because the bodily concept of life is really very powerful. We are discussing this. I saw a crow in America. There are crows in America also. And then, I was thinking that will this crow, if it comes to India, will he ever make that comment, I am an American crow? Will he ever make that comment? For him, I am a crow. Either I am in India or in America. Similarly, one who does not have Krishna consciousness, a human being, becomes less than a crow. And he says, I am an Indian, I am an American, I am British, I am European. Why? Because a human form of life is not meant to identify with his material body. Anyone who identifies with the material body, with his intelligence, he becomes less than a crow. And a crow is not making that identification. Just see, so scary and so dangerous that we give such an importance to this material body. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj told by Sukadeva Goswami that get out of this animalistic concept. Animal doesn't have such concept. His division is only based upon I am a dog, I am a crow, but not I am an Indian crow, I am an American crow. Therefore, he said, you get out of this bodily concept of life, and he just walked away. And then Takshaka came, and he beat Parikshit Maharaj. And there was big uproar for a moment. And the demigods realized, hey, no, we are not supposed to create a havoc. It is not an event of lamentation, rather it is an event of jubilation. And suddenly all the demigods start showering flowers on Parikshit Maharaj. Why? Because Parikshit Maharaj maintained that consciousness. of continuing to remain totally absorbed in Krishna, and then he went back to the spiritual world. And therefore, how much we are grateful to Parikshit Maharaj. He is responsible for Krishna to appear in the Bhagavatam. In the beginning, Krishna comes in the Bhagavatam. This is one of the favorites of Bhurijan Prabhu. He said, how does Krishna come in the Bhagavatam? He comes in the Bhagavatam as the protector of the Pandavas. And more specifically, as the protector of Parikshit Maharaj. How do you hear Krishna's pastimes? How does Krishna's pastime take birth in Bhagavatam? Or how does Bhagavatam take birth in the very first place? It takes birth in the form of Parikshit Maharaj's attitude. Otherwise, we would not know how Krishna appeared in the womb of Devaki through the prayers of Vasudev, the demigods, Brahma, Mother Earth. Therefore, it is not simply an historical fact. It is the personalities who are involved, and more than the personalities, their character which was involved, was the cause of Krishna's appearance. And therefore, with that aspiration to have such kind of intentions, aspiration to have that kind of heart, if we hear Krishna Katha, then certainly Krishna will also appear within our heart. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada writes, when Krishna appeared in the womb of Devaki, he said, not everybody will have Krishna as their son. But one can have such a son who is Krishna conscious. By practicing such principles of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada says, one can actually procreate such a son or a daughter for that matter and advance in Krishna consciousness and go back to the spiritual world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes, Krishna.
Thank you for a very nice class, Prabhu. You were saying that when Parikshit Maharaj finally departed, at the time when the Takshak bird came, the demigods, although there was a great uproar, they realized that they should not be, because it is not a situation for lamentation, but it's a situation for jubilation. So we would also come across situations when devotees leave their body in Krishna consciousness. Means we had so many devotees like Stoka Krishna Prabhu and so on. So there is lamentation as well as jubilation. So it's like, how can we not lament and only be happy? Or is it appropriate at that particular point of time not to lament, but just to be happy that this person has had a wonderful opportunity to go home back to Godhead?
We lament for the body, not for the separation. The point here is, they were usually lament because we are losing him as an object of our facility. That should not happen. Somebody dies. One poet, he says, when somebody dies, the wife and the children are saying, what will happen to me? They don't consider what will happen to him. They say, that is selfishness. When somebody dies, the mentality is, what will happen to me? Who will take care of me? Who will provide sense gratification to me? Therefore, the lamentation is there. But here, the lamentation, what we talk about, devotees, is the lamentation because of the separation. Because we are missing the association of a devotee, we are missing the opportunity to serve that devotee. Therefore, there is a lamentation. Therefore, one has to make the difference very clearly. That one should not lament for the facilities what he was providing for our sense gratification. Otherwise, a devotee is naturally, when somebody quits his body, he laments because there is a separation. But more than that, once he realizes that he is going back to the spiritual world, there is a lamentation, but more than the lamentation, there is a jubilation also. There is a mixture of feelings. That is Gaudiya philosophy. There is separation and there is union. There is separation and then there is union. It's like a hot, sweet chutney. You can't not take it, but you can't just, not have it. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is explained, Krishna prema is like hot sugar cane, semi-solid. It's like nectar, but it is very hot. You can't put it on your tongue. But you can't just let it go, because that is the position of a devotee. He is not attached to one mood. It's not that, okay, I'm feeling separation, and he is not feeling jubilation. And it is not that he is feeling jubilation and not feeling separation. It's a combination of these two. You can't have it and you can't not have it. That is a devotee. But still, as a devotee, Shukadeva Goswami acted very aptly that he just walked away, not being attached to that body, because he had done his duty, he had spoken Krishna Katha, he had established Parikshit Maharaj in the highest position, and he just walked away, warning, don't be attached to this material, this animalistic conscious of life. Very instructive. Yes, Srinathji Prabhu, your comments.
Class, I have heard that lamentation is material and spiritual feeling of separation, that jubilation. In Hindi, the wife says, "Ye mera dhani hai," means this is my husband, but she doesn't say, "Mera pati hai." Dhani means the one who gives dhan, money. So when the husband dies, "Mera dhani gaya," means I have lost my money. So that is the lamentation in a practical sense. And in the jubilation is that we know where he has gone, and we will inevitably have to join him. So he is like a pathfinder, somebody who will lead the way and help us progress further. So, this was discussed many years ago, I remember, by Giriraj Maharaj once. Recently also in listening to, I think, MP CD number 26, where Radhanath Maharaj in Jaipur, Sri Govindji Dev Temple, mentions something like this, same as what you are saying now.
Therefore, when somebody dies, they say, na? Nidhan ho gaya.
Nidhan ho gaya. Mera dhani gaya. So, we are more attached to the money than to the soul of that first person.
Everything is calculated from the point of view of
cash,
the value and money.
Thank but you. But it all ends in ash.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.